Well, I just have a very short message today. I don't want to take up too much time because we want to give plenty of time for the afternoon. And this is maybe a little bit unusual. I think I've said that a lot lately. Bear with me. You're all so gracious and sweet. Sort of a short walk through history, if you will, so that we can transition to our outside event. But let's open in prayer, and Don will close us out in a few minutes once he gets these couple of little clips set up for us. Father, we just thank you for your presence here today. We thank you that your glory fills the temple, that your spirit works among us, walks among us, and leads us from within. We're so grateful, Lord. And we ask that you would bless this word today, Father, that we could understand and hear with the ears that you have given us spiritually to hear. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. I'm calling this the perfect law of liberty. And my text will be, again, I don't know why this works this way, but it seems like the very last scripture is always my text, and that's how it's going to be today, too. Talking about the perfect law of liberty. Well, as you know, in a few more days, that later this week, we're going to be celebrating the independence of the United States of America. Great Britain was a harsh ruler over the colonies in the early days. And according to an article that I read on the History Channel's website, the independence from Britain has been celebrated down through history. I'm dry this morning, so excuse me if I'm going slow and swallowing a lot. That the independence from Britain has been celebrated as the single most important event that has ever taken place in the United States towards freedom. The adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776. History goes on to tell us that the colonies didn't really initially seek total independence from Britain, but that they wanted less constriction and, thank you, Audrey, less restrictions on worshiping God, and they wanted less interference with taxation and just daily interference with their lives. But Britain let them know in very short order that that would not be possible. And so the colonies were willing to go all out, all or nothing. So they banded together for one common goal, and thus began the American Revolution. While we're now a free and protected people, the freedoms that we experience cost many lives down through history. Most of you probably have close relatives or friends who gave theirs at some point in time. Thomas Jefferson began the Declaration of Independence with these few phrases. We hold these truths to be self-evident, meaning they require no supporting testimony or further evidence to prove their truth. They are foundational. All men are created equal. I thought about this one long and hard. I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and I believe it with my whole heart, and I believe you will too. There may be some who don't, but I believe this. It has taken time and considerable amount of bloodshed to get America to the point where, as a nation, we truly believe that all men and all women are created by God as equals. I believe it. Amen. Yes, we recognize there's still some work to be done. Yes, we recognize there are some pockets and influences that maybe don't hold that same philosophy, but on the whole, America believes in equality. And thank God she does. That we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. When this document was signed, there was no such thing as a natural-born citizen because there was no nation to be a citizen of at that time. The country was new. Our worth and our rights came from our Creator, not from our government. These rights belong to each individual, not to a group or a category of individuals, but to each and every person. Among these rights, it goes on to say, are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our Creator gives us life. He gives us liberty, and He gives us liberty in Christ as well. And He gives us the opportunity to pursue happiness as each individual defines that for themselves with his own free will. It's been said that freedom in general is a lack of restraint, but that liberty is the rightful exercise of freedom and the balance of rights and responsibilities. I like that. It's not free. We give and we take to find that balance. The second next most important document towards America's state of freedom was the Bill of Rights, and that was ratified in 1791. It includes the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, and as you know, it guarantees civil liberties such as freedom of religion, speech, press, peaceful assembly, the rights to bear arms, have a fair trial, and the protection from infringement by the government. The third document listed is the Emancipation Proclamation in 1865 for the abolition of slavery, which became the 13th Amendment to the Constitution. Thank God for that. I found the fourth document interesting from several standpoints, as though those of you who know me know for 25 or 30 years, my job was to process immigration for the company that I worked for, companies that I worked for. The number four document event that was listed as a great stride toward freedom was the admission of over 20 million immigrants through Ellis Island between the years of 1880 and 1920. 20 million in 40 years. Think about that. Number five was the women's right to vote in 1920. It became the 19th Amendment. Number six, D-Day, 1944. Dwight D. Eisenhower sent American troops to land in France and declared, "Europe, the day or the hour of your liberation is approaching." In 1964, the Civil Rights Act, resulting from the Jobs and Freedom March to end segregation. Amen and amen. And finally, the one that the church obviously vehemently opposed, based on God's word, but which is now a protected right, the Freedom to Marry Act, adopted in 2015, when Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy argued that such protection must be granted under the 14th Amendment, which in part says that no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or the immunities of its citizens, nor deny any U.S. citizen equal protection under the laws. I am so thankful to live in this great free country. Even though it still has some flaws, even though it still has some gaping holes that need to be repaired, I honor and I respect those who have given their lives for these freedoms that we enjoy. And even though God gave us the liberty, at times we must fight to preserve that liberty. Sometimes it's a physical fight. We hate that. We don't want war. Sometimes it's a fight that we wage on our knees. We wage this fight in prayer and intercession for our country and for our people. It's an honor to pray for your country. I am compelled by God to pray for this country's soul, because without that liberty that Christ gave us, America will no longer be a free nation. It will lose the very foundation upon which it was established. Before the shutdown of this country, we hadn't had to fight for freedom in a very long time. But now, because the powers have threatened our religious freedom by trying to silence the Church of God, I'm afraid we must fight, or like the early colonists found out, when it comes to freedom, it has to be all or nothing. Let's look at the way Scripture talks about this. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And of course, we know that was to be the law that was referred to there. And verse 13 says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. I love that statement. But don't misuse your liberty for fleshly reasons, but by love serve one another. We can serve America. We can serve our leaders and lawmakers by praying for them, but also by voting for those who show that they will fight for this liberty that we're talking about today foremost on our behalf, because if we lose it, we will not get it back. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 in the Amplified Version. I also love this version of this scripture. For though we walk in the flesh as mortal men, we're not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh, nor using weapons made by man. The weapons of our warfare are not physical, not weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We're destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. What a message for today. God made it known that our weapons have been given His divine power, and that they are strong enough to destroy fortresses and sophisticated arguments and any exalted or proud thing that raises itself against the knowledge of God. We've been commanded to stand for liberty. Prayer is not the only way we can fight. Civil responsibilities and voting counts too. The last few verses, James 1:25 tells us that whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, by which we've been given these mighty, powerful weapons, and doesn't give up or forget what he's fighting for, but continues to be a doer of the work, W-O-R-K, work, not word in this scripture, it's work. This man shall be blessed in his deeds. The church must stand. We must fight, and we must not give up to protect these liberties. And finally, That was my text, the perfect law of liberty. I have one more, so it wasn't quite the last one. James 2 and 12 tells us, speak and do as they who shall be judged by the law of liberty. We've been freely given the gospel, and we are accountable to live according to Christ's liberating word so that we can share it with a lost world. That is why we're doing this today. And time is getting very short. The purpose of this outdoor event today is to publicly offer worship before the world. They can see it, they can hear it, they can understand it, because we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sharing the gospel message with any interested neighbors, it's the highest expression of love that we can possibly give. I want to conclude this message today with two little short clips. They're only about 3 minutes and a few seconds each. One is a beautiful depiction of the flag. Donnie said he had seen this before. I had not, and I thought it was beautiful, as told by Johnny Cash. I believe it's called this ragged old flag. And the other one, in remembrance of Jim, the 4th of July was by far his favorite non-religious. He loved Christmas and he loved Thanksgiving. He loved all events, but he loved the 4th of July and he loved Elvis, of course. So the last one is in honor of him and with a bonus of a very enthusiastic little backup singer. I hope you enjoy these.
You know, I told Audrey, I don't want to keep us too long because we're going to wind down. And that first video, I think, mentioned several names that are now taboo, people who've been effectively canceled in the culture, as they say. And it's not an overstatement to, as Mom said, understand that there may very well be a fight ahead of us. It's tough to read the news right now. It's tough to see what's no longer acceptable in our culture when it pertains to our country and our freedoms and our Constitution, of which a good number of people would like to rewrite these days. And I played for Audrey and listened to a couple of pundits. They're probably not only secular, but probably atheists, and said something along the lines of, I just don't see how we avoid something like another civil war without an intervening force that we cannot name. And I thought, I could name that force. And that's exactly what we're praying for. I thought, interesting that a couple of atheists can recognize that. We don't know the name because we've forgotten it, but something has to intervene. I think that's the clear message. Back in the civil rights movement, decades ago, they still spoke of Christ. They still spoke of God creating all men equal. And so there was still that chance. You know, they understood where our value came from. Our identity was found in the Lord. And with that basis, we can all understand we are equal. We are all men and women are created equal in the image of God. When you leave God out of it, the basis disappears. And what do you look to? What we know is that we're not going to find unity. We're not going to find peace. We're not even going to have a free country without that basis in Christ. Because man has never figured it out on his own without that basis in the rock. So, as we dismiss today, I don't want to be negative, obviously, and we're going to go and lift our voices up again and pray and worship onward. But we need to understand we would be silly and we would be missing an opportunity not to point out the obvious that things are a bit different. Things are a bit dire right now. And if we've been paying attention as a church, monuments came down and now the talk is of certain Jesuses might need to come down because they're not the appropriate kind of Jesus. And on it may go. So let's continue to keep the world in prayer, because everyone seems to be catching this same disease, and it's not COVID-19. It is a disease of Antichrist. You know, call it what it is. It is a spirit of the Antichrist, which has been here for a very long time and is now getting very loud. So let's continue to remember that our victory is in Jesus, and that victory is locked. But we want to keep this world and our country in particular in prayer, that God bear with us and give us a bit more time, a bit more freedom, and more of his love to share with the folks outside of these doors. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedom that this country enjoys. And we know that that freedom only exists, Lord God, through your forbearance, your mercy, and your grace. And we pray, Lord God, that that freedom that we enjoy can not only continue but grow in a greater measure, Lord God, as your Spirit move out and amongst us. Let hearts and minds return to their first love, Lord God, to you, Heavenly Father. There is no peace, there is no unity, there is no equality outside of you, Lord God, but we believe firmly upon the rock of Christ today, upon which this church is founded. We ask that you bless each and every one here today, Lord God, and as we go out and as we pray and as we worship continually through the day, Lord God, that your Spirit, Heavenly Father, bless and touch us and many more. We pray for multitudes. We pray for lives to be saved, Lord God. There is nothing more that we can do at this point, God, than to say everything we can say, to raise our voices and to reach out our hands in love to our neighbors and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power unto salvation. In your holy name of Jesus, we pray. Go with each and every one of us here today. Amen.